Hey folks, why do you put off or change or take off old dirty clothes? Think about it for just a second. What would happen if you kept on those old dirty clothes? Stick around in just a minute. We're going to be looking at the Colossians chapter 3, talking about putting on the new self. We'll be right back. Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians chapter 3. We're going to talk about putting on the new self. Why is it that, you know, when we go out and we get our clothes dirty or soiled, why is it that we change them or take them off or put them off, as we would consider the Word of God? You know, what would happen if we just kept them on? Yeah, you know, you'd get a lot of looks from people. It would probably affect those that are around you in the way that not only they looked at you, but it would also affect essentially how you would smell. You might be offensive to other people. But we do these things so that we can keep things new and fresh. As we look at the book of Colossians, we're going to look at putting on the new self. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with me. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on earth." Verse 3, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Verse 15, and let the peace of God, which rules in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Therefore, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's look to prayer. Father, we thank you right now for this another opportunity to gather in your midst, and Lord, to just gather around your word. We pray that you would help us during these times and these moments to just draw wisdom from you, draw wisdom from your word. Help us, Lord, to truly put on the new man, put off that old self and put on the new man in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray again at this time that you would just help us as we lift you up. Speak to our hearts and give us ears to hear what the Spirit would have to say. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, just a little while ago, I asked you about that situation and kind of made it, we can understand, it's something we can understand as far as, you know, when your clothes get dirty, you take those off and you put on a clean, fresh pair. You know, if you've been out and gotten really, really dirty, worked really hard, been out in the summertime sweating or something like that, you just know the value of getting cleaned up. Boy, that shower seems to feel a whole lot better. That new, fresh set of clothes that you put on after you've bathed is a breath of fresh air to you. And how many times has somebody said after a shower, hey, do you feel better? And you've been like, oh, yeah, I feel so much better. Well, in our text, Paul is instructing believers to put on the new self. Now, we're going to discuss that in just a moment. But as believers in Christ, what does it mean to be raised in Christ? Now, back in verse one said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Are we actually being raised in Christ? Yeah, I've said so many times that I think there's this misnomer, and often we're guilty of that within the church. So bear with me on this, because I think too many times people think that salvation is just something that you do, you know, in church. And you may have heard it at an invitation in a church service or what have you. Or you may have heard me say, you know what, if you pray in your heart and you accept Christ, then he will come in. He will save you. He will make you a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are become new. And that's true. But I think too many times what happens is that we get people who think that, I did the thing at church, or, you know, I checked the box on the card, or I prayed with the pastor, or I talked to somebody. Folks, that's just the beginning of a walk with Christ. There's more to it than that. You just don't go away saying, okay, well, I did the thing, and now I'm saved. No, at that particular point, when you have become a child of God, at that point, you want to learn. You want to grow in him, just like a newborn baby grows. You know, he starts off on the bottle, and he's eating from the bottle. And then as he grows and as he gets teeth and as he matures, then he starts to eat that Gerber baby food, or the really soft stuff, or the soft things that you'll give them from the table. Then they step their way up to solid food. So wisdom, spiritual wisdom and spiritual growth is a process. Don't think that it just begins and ends with you asking the Lord to come in and save your soul. You know, I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again, but the Bible says not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Jesus in you should change you. Yeah, you should have different thoughts. You should have different desires. Now, that doesn't mean that it's simple. It truly is a struggle when you walk with the Lord. But nonetheless, you will have the strength of the Holy Spirit as you go forward. So, you know, Paul is instructing believers to put on that new self. And it says, as you're being raised in Christ, are you seeking him in his will? Are you seeking him? Do you desire to follow him? Or is spirituality just a Sunday thing for you? You know, I'm going to go to church. So I went to church this week. Now I'm spiritual. No, listen, it is every day and every single moment of your life is you walking in the way and the manner that Christ wants you to. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come and be present in your life on Sunday morning. He's there with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So are we being raised? Picture yourself. We call ourselves children of the King. Yeah, Christ children. So are we being raised as children with him? Now, it's interesting that we look at this passage and I would just point it out this way. Where is Christ at this time? Look again at that verse. It says in verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So, you know, many times people say, well, where is Christ today? He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Well, people say, well, I thought you said he's with me. The Holy Spirit is with you. He says he leaves us the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the teacher for you and I. Now, and also we know throughout the scripture that it says that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, you know, to go to the Father on our behalf. So we know exactly where he is. Now, As we go through our Bible studies and as we read these passages, I always ask you to look for a command or commands to obey. So in this particular one, what does it mean to seek the things that are above and to set our mind on things that are above rather than things that are on earth? That verse 2 tells us, set your mind on things above and not the things on this earth. Are your thoughts about godly things? Are you living your life in the manner that this life is just simply us passing through it to get to the destination, to being in the presence of the Father, to being in heaven, the place that He has prepared for us? Do we live our life every day in that fashion? It says that we're to set our minds on things above. Did we get up this morning and say, you know what? I'm looking for the Lord to blow the trumpet and call us out of here. Or today, I want to make sure that I'm a blessing to the Father in each and everything that I do. Today, I want to make sure that I spend time with Him in His Word and spend time with Him in prayer. Is that what our life is? Are those the things that we do? Or are we distracted? Have we let Satan distract us to the point that, you know, we jump up out of bed, we jump in the shower, we try to get a cup of coffee or get some breakfast, and then we're off to our work where we just run, and we don't have time to consider the things of God? Folks, if that's you, I want to challenge you today to make sure that you are doing the right things, that you're being raised in the manner that Christ would have us to be raised, and that we are setting our minds on the things above, not the things on this earth. That is a command to obey. You know, so when we think about that, how it will obedience to commands such as these change the way that we live and change the way that we think? Well, it gives us a completely different perspective on it. You know, how many times have you been about your life and something has come up and it's crossed your mind because the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart that this is not something that is pleasing to God. This is something unbiblical. This is something ungodly. This is something that you should not do. When we focus ourselves upon Him, we're more apt to listen to what He has to say and not do the things of the world. So when we consider that, when we are obedient to the commands that God gives us, it changes the way that we live and think. Now, remember a moment ago, yeah, you know, I told you, I said that Jesus in a person's life changes a person's life. And that is so true today. Now, I want to give you another passage that comes out of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You don't have to turn to that passage, but Galatians chapter 2, actually verses 20 and 21 says this, and I want you to consider this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now, this is a great, great passage that talks about and gives a beautiful picture of the fact that we have been crucified with Christ and no longer live for ourselves. When we trusted Jesus Christ, when we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, when we believe on Him, when we even pray and say, Lord, I believe I'm a sinner, forgive my sins, come into my life and save my soul, then what happens is we are to live for Him. We no longer live for ourselves. We have given ourselves over to Christ who now lives within us. So the life that we live in the flesh, even though I'm still alive and breathing and have purpose on this earth, it says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. What a great, great thought. We are not ourselves as believers. We have given ourselves over. We have been bought with a price. The Lord Jesus paid the price for our sins on Calvary. So, yeah, as you think about that Galatians 2:20, 2:20 and 2:21 that we just read, you have to consider that we have already died and that our life is hidden in Christ, in God, you know, with Christ in God. So, you know, you no longer should live for yourself. Now, We also look in our Bible studies for promises that God gives us, and He gives us a promise related to Christ's appearance, and that promise should encourage us today. Verse 4 of our passage in Colossians chapter 3 says this: when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So He's given that promise that we are going to be with Him at that time when we exit this body. And I love to think about the word telling us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I love what the writer wrote when he said, so whether I am either present in the body or absent from the body, I do all that I could do to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Now, in verse 5, he goes on and he starts to give us a list of specific sins that we are to put to death. And when you look at that, those are pretty much some of the what I call upfront or out front sins. In verse 4, in verse 5, it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth. And he goes and he starts giving this list. He says fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetous, idolatry. And he goes on and he says the reason why is because these are the things of the wrath. Is because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. In other words, these are things that are not pleasing to the Lord. When you went through that list just now, or when we read it in the passage, were any of those things present in your life? Did the Holy Spirit kind of tap on your shoulder and say, what about this? What about your passions? Are your passions focused in the right way? What about idolatry? Now, a lot of times people would sit back and they try to spiritualize that term so much. And they think about idols or actually some physical form or function as idolatry. And of course, that's true. We read about those in the Bible. But folks, idolatry is also anything that you put before God. That can be your job. That can be your home. That could be money. That could be, objects. That could be, your golf clubs. That could be your boat. That could be anything that you put before God. And that also includes your family. Now, we got to be careful about that. That's another message for another day. But the question is there idolatry in our lives? Are those the things that we're seeing? Now, he goes on in verse 6, and he tells us what happens to all those who practice those sins. Verse 6 says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because of those things. In other words, where there is sin, there is going to be judgment. There is going to be wrath if one continues to walk in that manner. Now, it says in verse 7, it talks about though we once walked. Look with me at it. Verse 7 says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Now, that means that that's past tense. You once walked in those things. You once were a sinner. This is addressing those who have trusted Christ in their life. It says you used to be that way before you trusted in Christ as your Savior. Though you once walked in these sins, you must now put them away. Verse 7 tells us that we must put them away. Notice what it says. In which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off these things. And he goes on and he gives that list: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. It says in the Bible, we're not supposed to do these things. Now, sometimes people say, well, I can do whatever I want to because God forgives me. Folks, we got to be very careful that we don't take advantage of the grace of God. Now, repentance is a big word that we've talked about many, many times. Repentance means that I've been walking in the wrong direction. I realize I'm walking in the wrong direction, and I don't want to walk in that direction anymore. So I make a 180-degree turn, and I start walking away from that. Where there is repentance, that 180-degree turn, then there is forgiveness. It says we once walked in these ways. We once walked in these sins, and now we are to put them off. Remember how we started this evening's Bible study? I asked you about those the old clothes. If you've been out and you've been working hard and those clothes are dirty, you want to get out of them because you want to be fresh and clean. You want to get out of those clothes. You want to take a shower. You want to feel better, and you'll put on some clean clothes. Now, that's what this is referring to in the Word of God as we look at it today. We once walked that way, the old, dirty, filthy, sinful self that we were. It says, though you once walked in these sins, we must now put them off because we are a new creation. We have been crucified with Christ, and yet we live. And we want to do the things that are pleasing to Him. So, as we continue to look at this, there are other sins that are listed in verses 8 and 9 that it says that we should put off as well. It says, or particularly verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. When we think about those, that list that's given in verse 8, think about anger. How many of you are angry? I mean, I've mentioned this, that particularly since we've been in the midst of the pandemic, we've got short fuses. I mean, people just go off in a heartbeat. We're angry. It's just a buildup of things in people's lives. And the Lord is telling us that we're to put off that anger. What else does He say we're to put off? Wrath. I mean, how many times because of our anger have we just gone off and people have felt our wrath, as we've said, because of something that we didn't like or didn't enjoy? Malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouths. All these things. The Lord says, my children don't walk and talk like that. My children don't look like that. And my children should not be identified as that. So, once I like to look at it like this. Once you go up there and you take those old filthy clothes off and you take a shower, you don't get out of the shower and put those old filthy clothes back on again. You want some clean, fresh clothes. And that's the way it should be in our walk with Christ. And that's what the writer is pointing out right here. He says, we are crucified with Christ and yet we live. Not I, but Christ who lives within me. Is Christ living within you? Is it evident? Are you just taking a shower and putting those old clothes back on? One of the great, great things that I love about the testimony of some people that I've seen and known in the past who have given their life to Christ, who come to me later and they say, well, preacher, I got a question. For some odd reason, I feel really bad about some of the things that I used to do all my life. I never felt bad about them before, but why do I feel bad about them now? And I just grinned from ear to ear. I said, because that's the Holy Spirit within your life convicting you that these are things that are not pleasing to God. So what you need to do is you need to pay attention to that tension. That's what the word I always use is pay attention to the tension, realizing that it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart and in your life, wanting you, pushing you, helping you, teaching you to do the will of the Father. And we can always do better when we get into His Word, when we make sure that we are spending time with Him in prayer, when we walk closer with Him and we build that relationship. It's a great relationship building thing to walk with God. That's what He wants. I've often said this. I said, how do you build relationships with people? You spend time with them. Yeah, you get to know them, first of all, by name, then maybe on a superficial basis. But the more time you spend with them, the more that you talk, the more you find out about that person, the closer that you can grow. The Father wants a relationship, and particularly with His children. So He says, though we once walked that way, this is the way we used to be, the old fleshly man. But now Jesus says, now that you have trusted me, it is time to put these things off, to put on that new man, to put on that spiritual man, that we might be pleasing to the Father and that we might be a great, great testimony to Him. Now, I want to share some passages with you out of Acts chapter 2, particularly verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38 says this. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we were talking about the Holy Spirit there a minute ago. Yeah, he's saying that when you trust in Christ and you follow in baptism, and let me put a plug in there for just a minute. Baptism is not an element of salvation. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation. However, Baptism should be the first act of obedience as a Christian in following the Savior. It is not a suggestion, it is a command. Once you have trusted Christ, you need to follow Him in believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is a beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes maybe you've heard the pastor say during a baptism, it says, buried with Him, raised in the likeness of His image. In other words, we're putting off the old man. We're putting off those old clothes that we're talking about, and we're putting on those new, fresh, spiritual clothes to walk in life. Now, he also tells us something else in this particular passage. Also, in Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, he says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His body, of His holy prophets since the world began." Now think about that for just a minute. It says, repent, and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. Remember what we were talking about when you've been out and you've worked hard and your clothes are dirty, you're dirty, and when you get that shower, how refreshing it is. Now notice in verse 19, it says, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Are we spending that time with the Lord? You know, spending that time with the Lord should be like taking a shower after a long, hard work day. It should be something that is refreshing to us. It should be something that that fulfills us. It should be something that guides us and leads us and makes us feel so much better. So when we consider those things, are we walking in that newness of light that is our Lord and Savior Christ? You know, are we representing Him well? You know, I've often asked this question, you know, what does it mean to repent? And why is real repentance a necessary part of salvation? Now, a minute ago, we talked about repent. When a person realizes that they're heading down the path of sin and their destination is hell, repentance means a turning around, a heading to the Father. Repent and trust Christ. He is the one who can save you. Through the power of Christ, you know, if we refuse to put away the sins of our past, can we really, really say that we've been saved? Again, I remind you, Christ in you should change you. Yeah, you shouldn't be able to just go down there and go to the church and say, "Oh, I checked my boxes, I'm saved," and then go out and continue to live a sinful life and your life never, ever change. Folks, I would really, really question whether or not you had a genuine conversion experience with our Savior at that point. You can't go out and do the old things, the old sinful things that you used to do and get away with it. If you've truly, truly trusted in the Lord, then the Holy Spirit is going to convict your heart. You know, I've often said this, the most miserable person in this world is not the unsaved person. The most miserable person in this world is the saved person who is outside of the will of God, whose life is under conviction every moment of every day until you surrender back to Him. So think about those things. You can't just go out and do the old sinful things that you used to do and get away with them anymore, because now you're going to be convicted. Like the old dirty clothes. You know, what does it mean to put off the old self with its practices and to put on the new self? Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." So, you know, when you begin to think about that, you know, when we trust Christ, that's putting off the old. We also still need to work on making sure that we do the things that please Him. He gave us the list. He said, you know, idolatry, you know, that's no good. That shouldn't be something that you want to do. You shouldn't desire to do that anymore. It shouldn't be something that pleases you, because you're putting off the old sinful self and putting on the new spiritual self. You know, and there's something different about that. There's something completely different. Look at verse 10 with me. Verse 10 says this. It says, "And having put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, you know, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and in every one of us. Now think about that for a minute. Folks, I mean, right here is just a scripture that tells us that man, all of mankind has been, the price has been paid for them on Calvary's cross through Christ, whether you're Jew or Greek. Now, that was talking about some racial things as well. You got to remember that the Jews thought that they were so much more special than everybody else back in that day because they were God's chosen people. They felt like simply because they were a Jew, they were going to make it to heaven. And that's not the case. There are people today who think that. There are people today who say, well, I grew up in a Christian home and I grew up in a spiritual family, so I'm okay. You know, I'll get there by association. I've been associated with this good Christian family. I'm going to get there. No, you're not. That is an individual preference. It is an individual choice. You're either going to trust the Lord and follow him or you're not. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. There's no two ways to put it other than that. One or the other. Which one are you? You have either put on the new self or you're still walking around in the old self and those old dirty clothes. You've either put on the new image and the new way of what God wants you to be, or you haven't. There's a difference. Jesus in you, once again, should make a difference in your life. Okay, along with the new self, there are specific qualities that we're supposed to put on as well that we read about in verses 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Folks, those are some tough, tough words that we look at in verses 12 and 13. Look at them again. When you think about that, does that strike a chord with you in your life? Does that strike a chord for those that are in your life? Now, I've said this pandemic has changed us. It's changed how people function, how they think. I said a minute ago, people have quick fuses, and it says, as the elect of God, meaning those who've trusted him, holy and beloved, he says, here are things that we're to put on. This is what our new change of clothes should look like. This is what our clean clothes should look like. He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another. In other words, that's patience. And forgiving one another. Are we doing that? If anyone has a complaint, according to this word, against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. In other words, the Lord is saying we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Folks, I get it. I realize that for the last over 18 months, there's been a lot of stressors in people's lives. Nothing seems to go as planned anymore, does it? I mean, even the simple little things. You get up and you're like, well, what's going to fall apart today? That seems to be the time that we're living in right now. But the Lord doesn't say, okay, because of that, then you can use that as an excuse to be mean and nasty to people. No, no. He says we're supposed to put on tender mercies. He says we're supposed to put on kindness. We're supposed to put on humility and meekness and long-suffering and bearing with one another and doing that in a kind and loving way. If you have a complaint with one another, you know, it says you to go and work those out. And it says that we're to do that in the spirit and in the heart of love. Man, think about that for just a minute. Are we being the model of godliness that we need to be for the people in and around our lives today, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we may be? Are we looking at these passages, particularly for a time such as this that we're living in right now? Man, it's rough. I'm telling you, each day brings its own new surprises, doesn't it? You know, and how's our attitude? How are we getting along with the curveballs that life is throwing us, you know, on a daily basis? That new self. There are qualities in verses 12 and 13 that God has given us, but he says in verses 14 and 15, above all, there's something that we should do. Verses 14 and 15, he goes on and he says this. He says, but above all these things, that list of the good things he's saying that we should put on. Verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Did you get that? It says, put on love. Now, if you're not sure about what that is and what that means, you can go back to 1 Corinthians 13, where it tells you what love is. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, love is not puffed up, love esteems others as better than self. It says, above all these things, put on love. Why? Because love covers a multitude of things. If you really love somebody, then you can forgive them. If you are loving in the manner in which the Lord has called us to love, then these things become easy. I'm not saying that they're simple. I'm not saying that sometimes it's not difficult. There are people that are hard to love, aren't there? I know that you know people in your life that are hard to love. But it says, but above all things, we must put on love. And the reason why is because we've heard that expression before, love conquers all. It is also important, as we read in verse 16, to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Now, what does that mean? The word of Christ dwell. And see, the word of Christ in us will change us, and the change in us will be an example to other people, and it will even change them. Each and every one of us have a testimony, whether it's spoken or unspoken. People look at you and know the way you live your life. Particularly lately, yeah, there's been people who've sat back and said, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? You may have met them for the first time. Maybe you held a door open for somebody as they walked out of a restaurant and had exchanged a few pleasantries and a few words. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? Why? Because the Spirit bared witness one with another. What the world needs now is more of that. Christian people living out Christ-like ways within the world and within their sphere of influence. Folks, that's what's going to change our world. And we must do everything that we do. Verse 17 tells us everything that we do, in word or deed, whether what we say or what our actions are, what we do, it says we are to do those things in the name of the Lord Jesus. You'll see that in verse 17. So are the things that we're saying and the things that we're doing designed to honor and magnify our Savior? When we say things and do things, do people see Jesus within us as we function in this life? Do they see our new, clean, fresh set of clothes? Or do they see the old filthy rags that the world is continuing to walk around in? Folks, I pray that what they're seeing in you is that new, fresh set of clothes, that you have put off the old man and put on the new man through Christ Jesus. These two principles can help us make wise choices and have better experiences in life if we will simply do that. You know what we need to do as we go through this week? We need to pray that we will put on the new self and do all that we can do in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember what it said, in word and deed, are we reflecting Him as we should? We'll pray about that in just a moment. Right now, I want to give you your Bible readings for this week. Now, this week, we're actually going to be looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians 4 through 2 Thessalonians 3. Now, again, that's just five chapters. That's 1 Thessalonians 4 through 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And next week, we're going to be looking at the day of the Lord as we read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Just want to give you a couple of reminders. This Friday, we've got our youth lock-in, a hayride, and bonfire. We're going to meet at the church here at 6 o'clock p.m. for dinner. Then we're going to go over to the Stewart's for the hayride and the bonfire. We'd love to have you. Be sure if you plan on going, if you're part of our group, hit us up on the group chat, and that way we'll know that you're coming. If you're bringing a friend with you, we just need to know how many to plan for to feed at 6 o'clock on Friday, and how many to prepare for along the way. You're welcome to bring a friend. If you're in the area and you don't have a home church and you'd like to join us for this, be sure to call the church office. That's 336-643-7684. Once again, 336-643-7684. Talk to Pastor Roy. We'll make sure that we get you lined out, and we'd love to have you come with us. Also, just as another reminder, Operation Christmas Child has begun. We want to encourage you. Put one of the little shoe boxes together. We ask that you continue to pray. Even as you construct that box, pray for the child that will receive it. Pray for the family and the lives that will be touched by you being obedient to God to pack one of these little boxes At Central Baptist Church, we do what's called an in-gathering. That means that we're going to have you bring your box up front. We have you put it on the altar. And then I just ask once again that you pray for the child and the family that will receive that box, because it's not just about receiving a Christmas gift, which this may be the first time a child has ever received a Christmas present, but it's about the fact that they will also have an opportunity to hear the saving grace word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to trust Him. That is the greatest gift of all. Now, as I mentioned that, our in-gathering, when we bring them in, we bring them down, and we'll put them at the altar, is going to be on Sunday, November the 7th, and also on Sunday, November the 14th. So I encourage you, pack a box, bring them in on Sunday, November the 7th, or Sunday, November the 14th. Pray for that child, and we're going to ask God to do some incredible things. Hey folks, one more reminder. Don't forget, this coming Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m., we will be having Trunk or Treat here at Central Baptist Church, located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Bring your kids on out. We look forward to having a great time. If you're part of our home folk, we could use you. Bring your vehicle so you can open your trunk at 5:30, and we'll be ready for the kids at 6 o'clock. Catch you then. Thanks. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so grateful and thankful that through Christ, we have an opportunity to put on the new man. Lord, as we look at ourselves through the eyes of the Holy Spirit today, I know that I, like many who will be listening to this message, can see some areas of deficiency. Lord, where we need to do better. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who convicts our heart, that helps us to realize these are not things that are pleasing to God. Help us, Father, to major on the things that you say to put on, the good things that you want to see in your children. May we put on the new self and do all that we can do in word and deed, as our scriptures tell us today, to magnify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for a good week. May we truly be a blessing to somebody this week, wherever we may be, whether it's our school, our workplace, whether it's in a restaurant, wherever it may be. Lord, help us to truly represent you well, that others would see the new us, the Spirit-filled, Christ-like, new nature that is within us, and it may sway them and draw them close to you, or even draw them to you by way of salvation. Lord, give us a great week. May we praise you, and may you bless us in a special way, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Have a great week. We look forward to seeing you Sunday morning.